At a high school in suburban Milwaukee, six victims of Sunday shooting at a Sikh temple in Wisconsin are being remembered today. Among the speakers are U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder and representatives of all the victims' families. One young woman who lost her grandfather called the victims heroes.
They died a painful death, and they died in the wrong conditions, but they died at a place where God would take them. And you know, there's no stopping God's will, and we may not understand why this happened, but, you know, I hope in future on that it will educate people about different religions, different cultures. Their death isn't in vain. I have so many people coming to my house that I've never, ever met, my neighbors that I've never seen, to offer their condolences and love for all of the deceased ones. They have not known them personally, but they feel our pain.
This has been a very difficult week for the country's Sikh community. They're trying to come to terms with why a white supremacist with a gun targeted their place of worship. Simranjeet Singh is a doctoral student in religion at Columbia University who writes frequently about what it's like to be a young Sikh living in the U.S. He's also active in several Sikh advocacy organizations, and he's with us by phone from New York City to share some of his thoughts on today's service. Simran, thanks for talking with us, and I'm sorry it's a conversation about such a sad topic.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Simran, you have family in the Milwaukee area. Could you give us your general sense of the mood of your family and friends and colleagues as the impact of all of this sinks in?
Oh, the mood there is exactly what you might expect. You know, there's still horror and shock, and there's no sense of closure or moving on at this point. It's still kind of trying to get back to what is normal. But for those people who were there, you know, it's still not normal. It's a different world.
Because the shooter is no longer alive, it's unclear exactly why he targeted this temple, and we may never know. But have you found some way to try to make sense of what happened?
You know, in the Sikh tradition, there's the way that we respond to things like this is, at the end of the day, you can never really make sense of what happens in this world. And so what we try and do, whether things are perceived as positive or negative, we try and accept them gracefully. Now, with that said, it seems pretty clear to me what he was thinking and who he thought he was targeting. Much of the discourse in the country is around this idea of mistaken identity, you know, that he was actually should have been targeting Muslims. But I actually find that very problematic. And we absolutely don't believe that. We believe that this is a hate crime, and it's a hate crime not just against the Sikh community or what he thought was the Muslim community, but a hate crime against humanity.
Simran, you have written about discrimination that you've dealt with since childhood, and I actually found some of it very startling. Can you give us a sense of the kind of bias you've come up against?
Sure. I'm happy to, although I feel like it's misrepresentative in a sense, because the kinds of bias that I encountered in my life, I never really thought of them as being major issues. So, for example, when I was a child, I was pushed into the girls' bathroom and, you know, by a bunch of older fifth graders. And they said, you know, come back when your hair is short. And I have three brothers. All of us, when we played sports and in South Texas, where we grew up, you know, the referees would kick us out of games. They would accuse us of hiding bombs and knives in our turbans. And so these experiences of verbal and physical assault were very normal to me. It never seemed like something I should be complaining about. In fact, until I started writing recently, I had never even told my family these stories. It was just, you know, part of normal life.
You know, assuming that there are other Sikhs out there who experience that kind of thing, has there been any backlash this past week with Sikh parents or Sikh temples considering that they need to change their practices or customs to protect themselves, like not wearing turbans or cutting their hair?
You know, this is an interesting question in that it's not a new story. And especially after 9/11, several of my personal friends decided to remove their turbans and cut their hair. Now, in response to this, I've heard several of my Sikh friends, especially parents who are concerned about their kids who are already getting bullied. I saw a startling statistic recently that in this area, New York, New Jersey, 3 out of 4 school children are bullied for wearing turbans. And so as parents kind of are already dealing with that, and now they're, you know, dealing with so much more, And so until there is a shift in our kind of cultural thinking about how we deal with minority communities, I think this will remain a concern for six.
You've also written that you hope that this can somehow be a turning point for the country. How do you see it possibly becoming that?
You know, if we were to keep this as an issue of sick Americans, if we were to limit it to that, then I think this will be an isolated event that occurs. We talk about it for a couple of days and we move along. But what I'm seeing within our communities across the nation is a careful and close critical attention to issues of discrimination, of minority communities, of integration versus assimilation. I feel like this is a very important opportunity that hasn't come up even after the attacks of 9/11, when hate crimes abounded throughout the country. We didn't have an opportunity to discuss issues like this, largely because there were other issues to address that were of concern, and it's understandable that they didn't come up. But this moment, this particular moment, what happened in Oak Creek gives us an opportunity to reflect a little bit and say, what are we doing wrong as a society? And what can we do to change that in terms of awareness, education, and just generally the way that we relate with one another?
So, yes, hopefully maybe it will become a larger conversation. You know, on the other hand, in many ways, something like this, unfortunately, ends up becoming a defining event for Sikhs. And I'm wondering, once that happens, how do you try to move beyond it and make it less defining?
Already, I'm seeing a major shift in the way that Americans are dealing with us as a community. I am, for the first time in my life, walking out on the street and people saying, recognizing me as a Sikh, not recognizing me as a stranger or assuming I'm a Muslim or assuming that I'm a Hindu or just generally kind of pushing me off as the other. For the Sikh community, this is huge. This has never happened for us before. And as the fifth largest religion in the world, it's always been disconcerting to us that we haven't been on the map. We haven't been part of the national conversation. We also believe that it's critically important to engage with our societies. A central component of our tradition is social justice. And so taking this opportunity to make our world a better place, I think, is something that will be very important to the Sikh community.
Simranjeet Singh is a doctoral student of religion specializing in the Sikh tradition at Columbia University. Simran, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Would love to hear your thoughts. Go to hearnow.org and click on Contact Us to send an email or leave a comment. You're listening to Here and Now.